All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And have you ever wondered how a real estate agent became a successful tiny house entrepreneur? My guest today, Allie Crook from the Atlanta metro area, has a fascinating story from short-term rentals to designing tiny homes and fix and flip projects. Allie's journey is ambitious and inspiring. Allie, welcome to the show. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Bryce. I'm happy to be here. And thanks to Dave, too, for reaching out.
Yeah, no problem. That's we need people like you on the show to make a show. So how did you get started? There's a lot to unpack here, and we're going to touch on the tiny homes in a bit, and I'm sure people are curious. But where did you get your start in real estate?
So I have been a licensed real estate agent and realtor since 2018. From 2016 to 2018, I did a graduate program at Georgia State University in historic preservation. So that's where I really started getting into the sticks and bricks and understanding city planning, layouts of buildings. We had to do some renderings and things like that for historic structure reports when I was in grad school. The whole time I was there, I knew I was going to get a real estate license and go kind of the traditional route, start selling real estate. And I was super lucky to find a really fantastic broker in Rusty Willis. He and his partner own ERA Foster and Bond here in the Atlanta area. So I've been with them since day one of having my license, and they really helped me get what I needed to start as a realtor and start building my business. And I did that through connections, being, you know, from the Atlanta area. I went to UGA, Go Dogs, and I have a great network of folks here in Atlanta that I started helping buy their first homes. I'm a millennial, so that's where most of us are in our life. So the beginning of the pandemic happens. Obviously, everyone's freaking out, don't know what to do. I sat at home for about 2 months and started to have clients trickle back in. And then, bam, it was like the floodgates open. You know, the interest rates went down. Everybody started looking. I had just a really successful back half of 2020, 2021. So by summer of 2021, I'm like, okay, I got to get in this investor game. I've seen enough people buy and sell property. At that point, I had only worked with two investors. And I was just like, so intrigued by everything they had done, seeing the returns, seeing their HUD ones come back at the closing. And I wanted to get in on that. But as a self-employed realtor, when I talked to a lender through the conventional, you know, lending process, they were like, well, we can do this little tiny amount, and I don't think that's really going to be a great return. So I started looking around, and my sister and her husband own a restaurant in Dahlonega called Spirits Tavern. It's been very successful, and there's a huge tourism market developing in Dahlonega. It's in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's only an hour north of Atlanta. They have a really great food, wine, and beverage scene up there that's developing, that's getting a lot of attention. Condé Nast and Southern Living have all, you know, given them great accolades in the past 18 months. So I was thinking, okay, let's find some land and do the tiny house thing, which isn't super original idea. I hear about that all the time from people. And I'm like, okay, how do I do this? I can't just go get a tiny house on wheels and plop it somewhere and rent it. Like, nobody's going to approve that. The market is dense enough with short-term rental investors that there are permits and ways that the local government wants to capture the tax income. So I, from my historic preservation days, I started digging through the planning documents because that's what we do. And I found a guideline that they had online in Lumpkin County that was very conducive to short-term rentals and tiny homes. Anything, it didn't have a minimum square footage. That's one thing that a lot of people don't know when they set out to do this, is most counties have a minimum square footage of probably 1,600 square feet or something like that. So what I did was start looking for, how can I build something or get something manufactured that has a permanent foundation, and find raw land in Dahlonega. So I started kicking around on social media. And one day I searched hashtag tiny home on TikTok. This was July 2021. And I find Lisa Engelhart, who's an investor in the Richmond, Virginia market. And she is just the person that opened the doors for me to the real estate investing world. She had a mastermind that she had just started and a little course. And I started following her and watching, you know, the drip campaign come in. And at that point, I didn't know anybody who had successfully used ClickFunnels, and she had just really awesome captured, I don't even know, intro video or something that came to me that was like 40 minutes long that says, you should buy this program. And I build tiny houses on foundation, permanent foundations, and you can too. And this course will bring you through what you need to do from step one to step 600. I'm like, man, this is awesome. So I spent like $500 or whatever it was and bought the course. And about 12 hours later, she calls me and she's like, hey, who are you? Why did you buy this? Because I was one of the first people that fell into the funnel and actually bought the program. And so we started talking and we had these regular weekly meetings with other investors, and some of them have gone on to do tiny home investing as well. And they've been awesome resources and just a really great network of people. And Lisa was speaking at an event called Dealmaker in Richmond, Virginia, which is hosted by Jim Ingersoll. And this was the first Dealmaker back after COVID. So everyone was really excited to be in the room and start talking to each other, making connections, doing deals. So here I am, just a realtor. I had never done any sort of anything off market really at that point. I think I had sold maybe one house that I was able to find through a mailing campaign, but everything else I had done was like traditional Georgia Association Realtors forms, conventional lending, all of that. So I went to Dealmaker and heard all these people talk about all these things that are like, you know, just flying way over my radar. And I met Michael Hicks, who does really amazing tiny home construction. He's got shipping container homes. He's got tree houses, a river house, a beach condo. He and his wife, Tia, have a really, like, they know what they are doing.
Yeah, they're specialized.
Yes, they have really perfected the short-term rental market in the Chattanooga area, which is kind of my backyard. So Mike and I, obviously, we didn't know each other, but we started talking about my project and my ambitions. And at that point, I had gone under contract on 2 acres of land in Dahlonega. One was just a vacant lot that I bought cash, free and clear. And the other was a 1 acre lot that had a single wide trailer on it that the previous owner was willing to sell or finance to me. So I did that 10% down. And I was thinking, okay, this is a good deal because I can put somebody in this trailer and offset my holding costs while I'm doing this construction thing. Well, Mike and Tia came down and they took a look. And, you know, at this point I had realized that the trailer had massive issues. There was black mold. It had structural problems. It was just, it was a giant mess. And they were like, you need to tear this down. And I'm so glad that, you know, we didn't try anything else. I actually had a mold remediation guy come out and give me a quote for $10,000 to tear it down. And then the guy that tore it down gave me a quote for $5,000. So, you know, it just really solidified, took all that out, and then started on construction in January of 2020. So Mike and I created a joint venture agreement where he has a quarter of the equity and the profits from the property. And then my mom and I formed Huddle at Crooked Creek LLC to do the construction. And from there, we partnered with contractors. We did all the permitting and had to do all kinds of soil analysis because of said creek on the property. So that involved several months of soil analysis, erosion studies, all of that. By the time we finally got through that process, tore stuff down, got to framing, it was March 2023 or 2022, excuse me, went back to Dealmaker for the second time. And I met a private lender that was willing to do a good bit of my construction cost funding. So she really took a chance on me, and I was super nervous about it. I got us pushed through construction as fast as I possibly could through a combination of Mike's contracting experience, connections, everyone I could get to answer the phone in Atlanta, from pouring the concrete to hanging the sheetrock, getting all the materials, everything. So we finished construction late August. We had to go through all these different inspections because of it being enough of a short-term rental market that they wanted to, you know, hit us up for this inspection and that inspection. And so they came out multiple times. We finally got our CO in the middle of September. And at that point, the rates were starting to shift, the market was shifting, and I started talking to a local bank that then refinanced me and paid off my private lender and my seller finance. So that point, I've got the one mortgage. Private lender's happy, but also a little shocked because we had an 18-month term and I only had the money for 4 months. But I'm at that point still brand new, didn't really know the conventions. I was just like, oh my gosh, I've got her money. I've got her money. I got to get it back. So did that. And then we opened, we finally got our like final approval from the tourist permit accommodations middle of October. We opened October 14th, 2022. And since then, we've had over 500 reservations. We've got over 200 five-star reviews. We do one-night minimums. So we absolutely operate like a hotel. I've got a cleaning team that's there almost every day. So lots of turnovers, lots of folks that have never stayed in a short-term rental or even an Airbnb type setting. And then, of course, probably half of our guests have never stayed in a tiny home. And they're coming to the market for all different reasons. There's a college, the local Army Ranger camp. There's weddings, wineries, the cute little town, family reasons. So it's been a lot of fun. And I would love to do more of these tiny homes because they have pulled in quite a bit of revenue. But, you know,
you said like four or five of them on that property.
So we have four. We have two on each acre. That's what the county permitted. I wasn't allowed to do any more, which is a bummer because there's still quite a bit of land there. Each side has the 20 by 20 base unit. There's you know, two per side. And so it's 400 square feet on the ground level and 100 square feet on the top level. So we have a 10 by 10 loft that's open to below. But I designed it specifically so that would fit a king size bed. And then downstairs, we have a full kitchen with like a little island seating area. We've got a laundry room with stackable washer and dryer. And then we have a large oversized bathroom with tile shower, rain head, all of that. Kind of because when I designed this, I had my family in mind. My parents are Marriott snobs. My dad travels for work. So he's like a gold, platinum, elite, titanium, something. So if you don't have a king size bed and you don't have a nice bathroom, why even go? So
yeah, those are the two things, right? And maybe sometimes the breakfast.
Which we leave a little snack basket, which is, you know, good enough. But
they have a kitchen, they can do their own thing.
Exactly. Like, and that's what we wanted, was something that was accessible, because a lot of the short-term rental unique properties, they have the cute ladder, or they've got some like really low ceiling overhead where you have to like belly crawl to get to the bed. And that eliminates a lot of renters.
They're not super interested in the 4 foot ceiling up there.
No, not at all. Our houses are 13 feet tall on the shorter side from the ground floor to the top. And then they span the 20 feet up to a 20 foot wall. So we've got, about 9 feet, is where the floor space starts for the loft. And so, you know, you've got like 14 feet on the tall side. So there's plenty of space. It feels much larger than it is. And people have been really, really comfortable there. We've had, our longest stay was 2 weeks, which a lot of people are migrating to the midterm rental space as the market's shifting and there's not as much demand. I love the short term because I get to know exactly what is going on. I don't have to deal with anybody's dog chewing on the door.
You're not really a tenant, right? It's just a term.
No, not at all. Yeah. It's, and we are a hotel. So, you know, because I'm a licensed agent, it does say on all of my listings, whether that be direct booking, Vrbo, Airbnb, you know, owner holds license in Georgia just to, you know, disclose, but there is no lease or rental agreement entered into there. And that does make things easier because we have had one person out of the whole year that had a dog destroy a bunch of stuff and they left food that got all congealed in the sink and just stupid that we charged them $50 because their dog chewed up my ottoman. And that was way under. I actually ended up had to spend $75 to replace them. So, you know, compared to normal tenants I have seen as a realtor, just insane things. I saw some people had multiple children and they broke a quartz countertop. Like, how does that happen? So I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with, you know, the long-term problems. We do get calls constantly. I don't mind that. I knew that going in. But I love it. For the most part, 95% of everything we hear about is like, oh my gosh, this is a great experience. I can't wait to come back. And that is just really reassuring and fulfilling when you complete a project and you get to hear from people that have enjoyed the space.
Yeah, so we'll dive into just a touch more because I got a few more questions about the tiny home. But with all of the things you've done so far in the real estate business and with your development here, what would you say is your unfair advantage? You know, something that comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do.
I think that I have a unique spatial perception, both as being a realtor and having my background in historic preservation, having to go through all these projects where I had to lay out a building on paper to document what is there. We did several reports for local city governments and state government here in the Atlanta metro area on residential, commercial, city properties. So I had to spend a lot of time focusing on that. As a realtor, I see, you know, probably at least 20 houses every month if it's a slow month, you know. So I can really visualize a space and kind of figure out what it is that we're dealing with. So, you know, to me, walking up and looking at this property with this yucky, moldy single wide, I'm like, oh, cool. We can put a pond down there and we can do this, we can do that. Meanwhile, my parents who have invested in the project, they show up and their eyes are like, you want to do what now? You know, so.
Yeah, they're focused on the problems and not the
yes,
potential.
Exactly. I would say that is an unfair advantage. Also, just having all the data that we have now compared to even 2 years ago with AirDNA and SDR Insights. There's a lot of different programs out there that can really show you if something's a deal.
They're viable or not. You know, that's the biggest thing with the short-term space is like, will it rent? You know, like you can have all the plans and, you know, try to like really dress it up and I'm going to have a hot tub and da 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 da. But what's the numbers? Where are the numbers at? So when you're funding these things and looking at the next project, because I imagine your excitement leads me to believe that you're not done building those types of things.
No, I don't think so. This was my first investment ever. I have no idea if it was ambition or naivety to just go and do four.
It's usually a combination of both,
it,
right?
It
A little
truly
naive
is.
And
And
then a little bit of excitement.
No, it is. It truly is. And I'm coming down off of that because it's like, okay, we did the first year. Everything's great, but we're still balancing the books, you know? One unfair disadvantage to me was we bought our lumber package the day that Russia invaded Ukraine. So the lumber prices were probably triple what they are right now. So we had just massive construction costs and I was scared to wait. You know, I was like, what if it gets worse?
What if
what
it
if
goes
I
to
can't?
four times? Yeah, five times.
Yeah. What if I can't get this stuff, you know? And so, you know, coming off of COVID, it was really early in 2022. We had seen all these unprecedented things. I'm like, well, if we're going to do it, let's do it. So, you know, my outlay was a lot more money than it would be currently. So that is both reassuring and also kind of depressing when I can't get hung up on the numbers. People ask me all the time about specifics and I'm like, I don't know. I know this
That
month
thing,
the
you're
bills
going to
are
have that
paid.
thing. Yeah, you're going to have that thing for a while. It's going to pay for itself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a lot of equity in it. When I did the refi, we did an appraisal and that was really reassuring to me. It's been a little difficult because I would like to do another refi to, you know, put into some more projects, or just to pay down some things that we're still paying on. Between my mom and I, we've got a lot of personal lines of credit that we tapped into. That would be nice not to look at every month. So, you know, the challenge there is because these are so unique and the lenders are all like, you know, holding on to their money as tight as they can on any of these weird things that were totally fine when the market was going gangbusters. They're all a little worried about touching something that's less than 750 square feet. That's the number I hear from every DSCR lender out there. So it really does come down to private deals. You know, if somebody is interested in doing a second or something like that, because we're pulling in money like crazy. We're not keeping it, where then turning around and paying it back to Chase and American Express and Capital One. So,
which yeah, is my next question was really like, what are you doing to raise money for something like this? Because it's got to be a bit of a challenge, being that it is such a unique proposition.
Yes. So my main thing that I have been doing this past year is just getting out to every event that I hear about and meeting networking. As many people and networking and learning. I have been to multiple masterminds. I co-hosted one this year with a group of women that turned into an amazing event that we're hoping to do again with Mary Hart, Wendy Sweet, and then several other investors from all over the country. I mean, we had people sign up from the northern states. I think I was the only one there from Georgia. There's a really robust investor network in the Richmond area. Really awesome group of folks down in Florida. I went on one of the cruises. I went on the Investor Addicts. And then just last night, I got back from Pete Fortunato's paperwork class, which my brain is still a little hurt from. That was a lot of dense paperwork.
Yeah, you got to let it kind of sink in. So like with all these different networking events and all the different people you're meeting, what have you found to be one of the more effective ways to keep in touch with these investor prospects?
Most of the people that I keep in touch with, I see on social. And then as I become more personally acquainted with them, I will follow up, you know, and we'll check in on texts and things like that. But the best way to really catch up, because we're all just so busy, you know, I'm running tiny houses, I flipped a house, I've got my normal real estate business with my clients, and then like friends, family, what's that? You know, seeing them back at the events and catching up with them and saying, are you going to this next thing? Are you going to be, I know the next big one that's coming up for a lot of us is the Investor Addicts cruise. That's a 7 days, you know, on a ship where you really get a chance to know some people, connect with them and learn about what it is that they're doing. Cause I hear things every single time I go in a room that, you know, just blow my mind the way that people are putting together the midterm rentals right now is really, really intriguing to me.
Yeah, that's emerging like crazy. So what you're saying is like, collaborating, but coordinating with all these different people and making sure you're staying in touch.
Yeah.
You found to be really effective.
Yeah. So at this point in my career, I did Huddle, which is the 4 Tiny Homes. And that was all of my 2022 because I started investing 21. I closed right before my 30th birthday on the property, September 21. You know, we broke ground, did all that, opened in 22. This year, I went after a flip because it was a family friend that owned the property. And they were just kind of like, okay, we're done with this. We've got to get on with our lives. And I had all these connections through the construction that I had done. So I was able to partner with a hard money lender and a private money investor that actually came to me to say, do you have an opportunity right now because of the events I was at? So I will forever be grateful to people like Jim Ingersoll, Wendy Sweet, Mary Hart, Augie Bylot, Michael Hicks for, you know, including me in his world and telling me so much about these really awesome events and people. And, you know, the attitude of so many investors is just wonderful. Like the high tides raise all ships. Like there's plenty out here for all of us sort of thing. And for somebody that's 32 years old, that doesn't know up from down when it comes to finance. Well, it feels like that. I don't want to say that to discourage my investors. It's just been a really, really encouraging experience to meet these people and see the lives and the businesses that they've built for themselves. Because, you know, some days you're sitting in your flip and you're like, really? Why is this broken?
Why isn't it done yet?
Why isn't it done? Or why is there literally, I stepped in a
Where's
taco.
The contractor?
I stepped in a hamburger and a taco on the stairs one day. And I was just like, you know, I was about to lose it. And, you know, there's so many days that you're just like, man, why am
My
I in
pet
this?
Peeve is the coffee cup on the counter. They always leave coffee cups.
I can deal with the coffee cup. That does not bother me. But, you know, the last flip I did is right across the street from the house I live in. So I would go over there every night and turn off the lights and lock the doors with my dog. And I'm like, what are you eating now? And, you know, taco
another
on the
taco,
stairs.
Another hot dog.
Another quick trip box. And I'm just like, you know, this is so much money and it's not even mine. So,
Yeah,
but
that can be challenging too, dealing with
yes.
the leverage of other people's money. But you know,
Yes,
that is the
yes.
scale of the business. So if people want to invest with you, they want to find out more, they want to check out your tiny homes,
Yes.
you know, we've got our social medias on the video here. But for the people listening in the car, let us know, how can we connect? How can they connect with you? Find out more about what it is you're doing and what you're going to be doing in the future.
So I have two websites. One is Huddle Tiny Homes, Huddle. A lot of people call them Huddle Houses or Huddle Homes. I'm from the South. I'm a Waffle House girl, but Huddle House is cool too. Grew up going there. So huddletinyhomes.com and alliecrook.com, AlliCrook.com. I have all my realtor stuff there, my contact information, my emails. I was born with the name Crook. I didn't do anything to earn it. So full disclosure to the people looking to invest, I am not a thief. And then social at Huddle Tiny Homes and at Ally Crook Realtor. So those are the most interesting accounts. My dog and I personally have accounts, but those are kind of just more
I'm
dog
sure
things.
they'll,
So.
yeah, I'm sure they'll find them when they start digging. Well, I really appreciate your time. And, you know, tiny homes is certainly on the rise. So I'm sure you're going to have lots of success in the future. Really appreciate your time, Ellie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.